You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Jamie Spence.
Welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Torbjörn Olesen wins the first event of the final series, the Turkish Airlines Open.
It means a lot. Bit of a bad spell here for the last few months, 3 or 4 months. So all of a sudden be leading and then finishing is it's pretty cool. The last four holes were tough, but I managed to get over the line, so that's the only important thing.
And we'll hear more from the Dane later in the programme. Despite starting the final round with a 7-shot lead, Olesen was pushed all the way by England's David Horsey.
To be 500 through 9. Was the perfect start really, and then yeah, just maybe a couple more at the end could have dropped, could have been a different story, but I knew I needed to get to 20, and yeah, just ran out of holes now.
We'll review all the action from Antalya and then look ahead to the penultimate event in the European Tour season, the Nedbank Golf Challenge hosted by Gary Player. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and alongside me is Jamie Spence. Jamie, how are you?
Yes, morning, Dan. Yeah, I'm great, thanks.
We're going to reflect, first of all, on the Turkish Airlines Open and a win for Torbjörn Olesen. It came from nowhere, really, because he hadn't shown too much form going into the action in Antalya, had he?
He's been that sort of player for a couple of years, Torbjörn. Can't work him out, really. He's had runner-up finishes twice this season in Qatar, BMW International, which is very nice indeed. But between that, really, you're right, his form hasn't been good at all, and he said so himself. So, but he's been that sort of player for the last few years. He won the Dunhill Links the previous season, and same sort of profile really coming into that. So, yeah, he's an enigma, but he's a fine player when he's on song, and I'm really glad he came out on top of the weekend, because with that big lead, it would have been hard to take if he'd have been overtaken.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a second, but he set himself up, I guess, with a course record, 9 under par, 62 in the second round, 8 birdies and an eagle. You said he's a good player, and that's the sort of score he can post on a golf course like that when he's on form.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a quality player. I think he'd have been in many people's list for getting into the Ryder Cup team. That wasn't to be. He went over there as an observer in the team. He was around all the team all the time, which they do with some of the young players. And maybe that's inspired him or given him a kick. And he thought, right, I want to get into that next team. And he's come out of that playing really, really, some really strong golf. Got close, really, on the back nine for a little bit there, but he pulled away again. He had 3 birdies on the back nine, and that was good enough.
A closing 69 saw the 26-year-old finish on 20 under par, 3 shots clear of David Horsey and Lee Hau Tong. All of his wins have come when he's led going into the final day. He was 7 clear, Jamie. 7 is much different from 1, 2 or even 3. What's the mindset like when you've got such a big lead after 54 holes?
Well, I wish I knew. I'd love to have a 7-shot lead, wouldn't we all?
But do you play defensive golf?
Well, that's the conundrum, isn't it? What do you do? He's been playing aggressive golf all week. Everything seems quite easy. And then all of a sudden, David Horsey ratchets up 29 on the front nine. And suddenly you're under pressure. And all those thoughts are going through your head. Blimey, I had a 7-shot lead. If I blow this, what are the papers going to say? All the people are going to talk about me. So there is pressure on him. And it's a difficult one, you know, do you stick or twist? And you can end up doing neither. And maybe that's what happened to Torbjörn on the front nine. But then he gathered himself very, very well for the back nine.
From David Horsey's point of view, is the pressure off? You know you're 7 shots back. Can you just go and play your game and not worry about leaderboards?
Well, yeah, you can. You can say the same about all the players chasing him, really. They've got a free run at it, really. But you think of all the points on offer. And David Horsey wasn't guaranteed to get in the final Dubai Championship as well. So he's fighting for that, as are many of the other players down the list. There's huge money and to be played for here. So they've all got their own agenda, plus world rankings this time of the year and getting into all sorts of tournaments for next season. But yeah, maybe Horsey, when he went out in 29, thought, blimey, I could actually win this now. And then suddenly the pressure goes on him.
So Olesen in the end came good, and we can hear from the latest winner on the European Tour now.
It means a lot, you know, bit of a bad spell here for the last few months, 3 or 4 months. So all of a sudden be leading and then finishing is it's pretty cool. The last four holes were tough, but I managed to get over the line, so that's the only important thing.
You looked so assured early on, but how were the nerves when David Horsey was getting closer and closer and closer?
Yeah, I mean, I knew at the start of the day that some of the guys could shoot a really low score, so I knew I could be put under pressure. I mean, it's not easy to just go out and make a few birdies for me, so obviously, yeah, it got really close there at one point, and just stick my head in the ground and kept on trying to make a couple of birdies, and then got there in the back nine, so that was nice.
Well, you had said you'd never had 7-stroke lead before, so it was hard to know how to deal with it, I take it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different feeling, you know. But I have some, I don't know what it is about me, but it always ends up being pretty tight. I mean, the last couple of tournaments I've won was 3-stroke lead and it got down to none. So I need to have a little bit of pressure, I think.
And you touched on this. You had a quiet spell. What is it that's made that transformation? Is it partly clubs, hard work, what?
Yeah, a lot of hard work. A lot of belief. Like I said earlier this week, I felt like in Portugal I was playing well again. Striking the ball well, and for most of these four rounds I've been playing really good golf. Obviously hit some poor shots here the last four holes, but there was a lot of pressure and it was difficult for me. So, but I felt like I've been, most of all this week, I've been playing really well.
Well, it was Olesen's fourth European Tour victory and his sixth as a pro. He's now won in three consecutive European Tour seasons and in four of the last five. And at 26 years and 321 days... he's the youngest Dane to win four European Tour events, surpassing Thomas Bjorn, who was 28 years and 241 days when he won his fourth title. We always look at Thomas Bjorn and say, what a fantastic career he's had. It's remarkable that Olesen has got his fourth Tour win way before Thomas Bjorn did.
Yeah, they're good pals as well. I know Thomas is pretty close to Torbjørn, but there's been some good other Danish players. Søren Kjeldsen's had a renaissance in his career. Søren Hansen before him and Anders Hansen, who retired, but nearly won the Portugal Masters as well. So there's some good players coming from Denmark. So, and Torbjørn's the latest. And I say, four wins by the time you're 26 is very impressive.
He mentioned the wobble over the course of the final round and the fact that David Horsey got a little close to him, so he was very aware of what the chasing pack was doing. And he also pointed out that it's happened before when he's won. He almost gives the opposition a bit of a chance, doesn't he?
Well, it's not easy. You said that 62 in round two was an exceptional score, and you're always going to have a little bit of a wobble in four rounds of golf. I don't care who you are. So he went through that, but it's how you react to that. It's how you respond. You're going to have a couple of bogeys, and on a golf course like it was, there's always other players are always going to be able to shoot low scores as well. So you know they're coming from behind. You know they're going to chase you. So he was prepared for that, and he said he just stuck his head down and got on with it and made a few birdies.
Is it a factor that on that particular course, over the course of this week, there were some low scores? So in the back of his mind, he'd shot a 62. He'd seen players go very low over the course of the previous 3 days. So he knew that there was going to be a run made at his lead.
Well, he had to break par to win the tournament. He ended up winning by three, shot 69. So he knew, even with a 7-shot lead, you've still got to go out there and break par. And that's no giveaway. Especially when you're under pressure, you're seeing everybody go out before you, you're waiting to go out there, you're keen to play, and it's not easy. You can't be too many in front then.
He's now joined second in the list of most prolific Danish winners on the European Tour, alongside Søren Kjeldsen, and the victory extends Denmark's run to 12 consecutive seasons of having a winner on the European Tour. Let's move on to the rest of the leaderboard now, starting with the man who pushed Torbjørn Olesen all the way, David Horsey, despite starting the final round 7 shots behind the Dane.
Fantastic start. I said I needed to sort of get going early doors, and to be 500 through nine was the perfect start, really. And then back nine, I played okay at times, a couple of loose wedge shots, which I was a little disappointed not to get closer, a couple of in-between numbers. But, you know, all in all, I can't really be too critical. I hold some putts when I needed to, and yeah, just maybe a couple more at the end could have dropped. It could have been a different story, but I knew I needed to get to 20, and yeah, just ran out of holes in them.
But you didn't know when you were just one stroke adrift of him?
Was it that close, was it?
It was close.
No, I never really, like I said, I didn't look at leaderboards, so I knew I was reasonably close, but I still knew I needed a few more birdies.
Yeah, Horsey birdied the long 12th to get within one. We've just heard from him there. He didn't realise, always, outsiders looking in, can't quite believe that golfers don't look at leaderboards.
He said he didn't really look at the leaderboards, so that means he did had a little peek, and he said, I knew I was quite close. So there must have been some information coming his way, maybe.
He knew he was
from
gaming.
His caddy. Yeah, he said he had to get a 20 under par. That's all he was interested in. And when he gets his putter going, David Horsey, he's a pretty frightening player to have challenging you. So anything's possible when you've got a hot putter. But he's got to be delighted with the performance. He's been playing well, actually, since the KLM. He finished fourth there, and he's had some very good results since then, top 20s all the way, really, which is decent, solid form. So coming into this, he'd have been full of confidence. And when you've had that run of form behind you coming to the last round, you've got that confidence that your game, you can hit your numbers, hit your lines on your putts and hit the fairways. And David's in that vein of form at the moment.
You can play without pressure when you're 7 shots off the pace going into the final round. He played that front nine better on the last day than he played it on the previous 3 days. Most of his scoring over the course of the previous 54 holes came on the back nine. Was it a case of he knew he was close and maybe it started to get into his head a little bit?
Well, of course it will. You're human beings, it's going to happen. But I think he'd be more under pressure third round because he wanted to give himself a chance, as I said earlier on. He wasn't guaranteed to get to Dubai. All these players want to play in these big championships, and no more so than David Horsey. So I think that was a big round. I think once he had that round, I think he was then thinking, right, now I've got a free go. That has given me the chance here to take this on. And he really went into it in that front nine, 5 birdie, 29 out, and really put himself in the mix. That's all you can do.
Well, China's Li Haotong tied second in the end alongside Horsey on 17 under. And now Jamie leads the race to become Rookie of the Year.
He's an impressive player, Li Haotong. I've followed him a few times doing on-course comms. Gives the ball a mighty hit off the tee. Won in Volvo China earlier this year. Yeah, he's a really, really good player. Looks like he's going to be around for quite some time. He shot 64 in the last round when he won the Volvo China and 65 on Sunday. So he's got a finish in him as well.
Next on the leaderboard in fourth place was Austria's Bernd Wiesberger, two shots further back.
I think everybody had a really great week, and so did we. I played nicely, you know. I only made 4 bogeys all week again, similar like I did at the Grove a couple of weeks ago. And that's a lot of positive to take into my final event in Dubai then, the other week. Hope I can keep the momentum going throughout next week and into Dubai. And, it should be a good season ending then.
Bernd Wiesberger finishing fourth, massive off the tees, a talented performer, as we've seen in big events over the last couple of years. And you get the sense that anytime soon he's going to break through, maybe to the big time.
Well, I think he has broken through. He's a top player, Wiesberger. He seems to be on every leaderboard. Every time the European Tour, wherever it goes, Wiesberger's on the leaderboard. He's not playing in the Ned Bank. He's going straight to Dubai. He's played a lot of golf this year, 26 events on the European Tour, Wiesberger. But I really thought he was going to be in the Ryder Cup, and I think that course would have suited him down to the ground as well, around the big long hitter that he is. But he's got a bright future. He's a quality player.
Wiesberger fourth. Let's get the full top 10 from Jamie from the Turkish Airlines Open.
Tied 10th is Mikko Ilonen, Tyrrell Hatton and Ben Ann. In 9th is Nacho Elvira. Pablo Larrazabal was in 8th. Tied 6th, Joachim Lagergren from Sweden. He's played very well lately, Joachim. With David Lipsky. George Kutsia, fancied by many at number 5. Wiesberger was 4th. Tied 2nd, Li Haotong and David Horsey. And our champion, Torbjørn Olesen.
Fantasy Race 2 Dubai tips from last week. Rob Lee and John Hawksworth were in the chair. And Rob went for Alex Levy, who was tied 25th. And John went for Tyrrell Hatton, who was tied for 10th. So solid performances
not
from the
boys. Not bad. Well, that's not right. Rob always goes for Alex Levy. Picks him every other week.
We need the top 10 from the Race to Dubai standings.
Well, the South African Brandon Grace is 10th. Torbjørn Olesen has moved up to number 9. The PGA champ Chris Woods at 8. Louis Oosthuizen is 7. Rafa Cabrera-Bello at 6. The multiple winning Alex Noren at 5th. Tyrrell Hatton is 4th. Rory McIlroy 3, Danny Willett is at 2, and number 1 is Henrik Stenson.
Who do you think is going to win the race to Dubai, Jamie? Obviously, Stenson, Willett, McIlroy, to a certain extent in pole position. Hatton, of course, had the big win in Scotland off the pace. Who do you think will be crowned as Europe's number 1?
Well, I think it's going to be Henrik, I think. Unless Danny can turn his form around, he's just had a rotten couple of weeks for him. He's been top of the pile for so long, Danny Willett. He's had a terrific season, regardless of what happens in the next couple of weeks. But, it's difficult to look past Henrik.
And we talked about leaderboards previously. Obviously, when we get down to the final event, last couple of events, do you think players will be looking at their projected positions? Not just the top 2, but top 10 will be performers looking to try and jump up a few spots and take that into consideration when they're playing?
Well, no doubt. If they don't, they're foolish, as far as I'm concerned, because you've got world-ranking players trying to get into the top 50 of that. You've got Open Championship spots and US Open Championship spots coming off the race to Dubai as well. So there's agendas all the way down the list. So you want to know what, roughly, they'll set a mark of where they think, how many points they need to gain that position. And there'll be lots of players looking at that.
On the Fantasy Race to Dubai, Alex Padros won the most points from the Turkish Airlines Open, with Ullison as captain, Lee as his vice-captain, and Wiesberger in the lineup too. Thomas Edling still leads the overall standings, with time running out for others to catch him. Remember to check out the European Tour website this week for the Fantasy 3 to watch at the Nedbank Golf Challenge, hosted by Gary Player. In other news, Jordan Smith rounded off a stellar season on the European Challenge Tour with a top 20 finish at the NBO Golf Classic Grand Final, securing him the 2016 Road to Oman title. Smith won twice during the season to put himself in position to claim the Tour's rankings crown and graduate to the European Tour for next season.
I was over the moon to finish top in the World Merit last year on EuroPro, and I mean, at the start of the year, it was just to keep my Challenge Tour card, and now I've got a European Tour card, so now I can go out and just go and play next year and just go out and have fun. It's definitely prepared me for next year, that's for sure, going outside of Europe and travelling, living out of suitcase for months. So I'm looking forward to it anyway.
And you think you can transfer this form to the big stage?
Yeah, I'd like to think so, yeah. I'll be able to compete and go out and hopefully win.
Tom Curran with the questions there. Tell us about Jordan Smith, Jamie.
Well, he's 24 the end of this week. He was a Walker Cup player. He won the Euro Pro Tour, which got him onto the Challenge Tour. Won a couple of times this year. He's looked impressive, I must say. Interestingly, he's won in Egypt early in the season. And he won Ras Al Khaimah as well, near Dubai. Runner-up in Kazakhstan. So on his travels, he's done exceptionally well. So that part won't worry him when he gets onto the European Tour. He's got a bright future, hasn't he? It's fantastic for all of these players. There's some old hands there as well who've got their cards back, but mostly it's the youngsters that are getting their chance on the big stage. What they want, the Challenge Tour is a fantastic tour for that. Gives everybody the opportunity to learn how to play four rounds of golf all over the place, all around the world. China, Kazakhstan, in the Middle East, and then back in Europe in the wind and the rain at times. And it's a great breeding ground for champions.
Well, Germany's Bernd Ritthammer actually won the grand final event, a third title of the season, to claim his European Tour place. He finished second in the Road to Oman rankings, with the rest of the top 16 also set to make the step up for the record. They are Alexander Knapper, Ryan Fox, Sam Walker, Mathieu Pavon, Alexander Bjørk, Dylan Fritelli, Romain Langasque, Duncan Stewart, Marcus Armitage, Jose Felipe Lima, Damien Perrier, Pep Anglaise, Thomas Detry and Joel Stalter. Good luck to one and all. Which players should we be looking out for next season, Jamie?
All of them. I mean, Sam Walker, I've known Sam a long time. He's coming back on tour along with Philippe Lima. Romain Langasque is very exciting, a Frenchman, young French player. Duncan Stewart from Scotland as well. Russell Knox has picked him as his World Cup partner, interestingly enough, already. Lots of good young players. Thomas Detry from Belgium, another young player to come out of Belgium, chasing Peters and Coulthard. So lots of talent there from all over Europe and all over the world, in fact.
In the States, Australia's Rob Pampling 6-under par final round helped him to the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open title, his first PGA Tour win for 10 years. Brooks Koepka was second, two shots back, with Italy's Francesco Molinari tied for fourth. Jamie, let's get the latest world rankings.
Well, Torbjörn Olsson, after his win, has jumped from 92nd to 69th, but we'll jump to the top 10. Ricky Fowler is at 10, Bubba is at 9, Patrick Reed is 8th, Hideki Matsuyama at 7, Adam Scott is 6, Spieth is 5, Stenson 4, Dustin Johnson 3, Rory's number 2, and Jason Day is still number 1.
Next on the Race to Dubai is the Nedbank Golf Challenge hosted by Gary Player. Mark Leishman won the title earlier this season, but the lucrative event switches from December to November to become part of the European Tour's final series. It's a well-established event, Jamie, but it has changed over the years. Much bigger field, of course, these days, but a high-quality field as well.
Yeah, it used to just be an invitational event, really, at the end of the year for a lot of the top players. But all the big events now around the world, that isn't quite the case. So it's now a proper European Tour event and one of our biggest events now in the final series. And we're very grateful for it on a fantastic golf course. If you've ever been to Sun City, you should go. There's a clue in the name. It's a great spot to play golf. A couple of courses there. And this course is long as well. 7,800 yards long. But you are at altitude, so the ball goes a little bit further. But it seems to be that the same players seem to turn up and play well there. Lee Westwood's always had a good record round, but Henrik Stenson has had a fantastic record there as well. So, yeah, lots of pointers this week on a terrific golf course.
Just talk us through the top names that are teeing up.
Along with Stenson, obviously Danny Willett, he's playing, the Masters champion. Louis Oosthuizen, Tyrrell Hatton, Chris Wood, he played well here last year, finished third early this season. Torbjörn Olsson obviously is playing. Ross Fisher came runner-up here a couple of years ago. Thomas Peters, he'll love it round here. Thomas, boy, the ball going an absolute mile for him in this rarefied atmosphere. Charles Schwartzel, obviously. Richard Stern, he's been playing some good stuff. So, yeah, they're the main protagonists.
Do the South African players have any sort of advantage at Sun City? When they play South African Open courses, we've seen various different tracks that are played on the Sunshine Tour, and you tend to feel that certainly on the putting surfaces, those local players tend to have an advantage. Does the same play out when it comes to Sun City?
Doesn't seem to, does it, with the results? You think Louis would do very well around here the way he hits the ball, but his record is not brilliant at Sun City. Schwartzel does okay around there. Obviously, Ernie had a very good record, as did Goosen, but no, I don't think they do, which they would in a normal event in Joburg or in Durban or on the coast down in Cape Town. Why that is, I don't know.
So, with that in mind, what's your selection this week?
I'm going to go for a South African. I like quite a few of them here. I think
you can only pick one.
I know. Stenson's the man to beat. I'm not going to pick him because that's too obvious. Richard Sterney, I think he'll go well. But I'm going to go with Schwartzel. I think he's got lots of course form. I certainly think he'll finish top five, so Schwartzel.
I'm going to go for Ross Fisher. You mentioned the fact that he's played well previously and he's had a decent season as well.
Oh, he hits the ball. Miles Fisher will love it here as well.
I'll take my Ross Fisher against your Charles Schwartzel. And that is all for now. Please join us next week when we review the Nedbank Golf Challenge and look ahead to the climax of the race to Dubai, the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And if you have any golf questions for us to answer on the show, you can tweet us at European Tour with the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Jamie Spence...
Goodbye, everybody.
And myself, Dan Roebuck. That is your lot. We'll see you next time.